DW.
The chirping of the birds seems out of place in this surreal, man-made landscape of disemboweled homes, burned-out cars, and deep craters. The light breeze that blows through Mosul's old town on this hot summer day only intensifies the stench of decay. It's still unclear just how many people were killed in the battle to liberate the city from the rule of the so-called Islamic State, or IS, terror group. Current estimates vary between 10,000 and 40,000 victims. To this day, bodies are still being recovered from the rubble. Zahra Abdul-Khader, a 25-year-old mother of four, endured the IS occupation in Old Mosul.
I hope that everything goes back to the way it was before, that all our houses and mosques can be rebuilt. I just want a normal life in peace and quiet. I don't want more than that.
She recalls the constant hunger, relentless U.S. bombing raids, house-to-house fighting, and hissing bullets piercing the walls. In the final days of the battle, Zahra's family fled to eastern Mosul, which had already been liberated by the Iraqi army. Now they've returned to the bombed-out western part of the city, where they live in two ramshackle rooms. Zahra's husband, Ahmed, works as a vegetable seller. Against the odds, some stalls and improvised markets have once again started selling goods in Old Mosul. Meanwhile, Zahra stays home and doesn't let her four young children out of her sight.
I don't allow them to go out. They're just allowed to go through the gate and stay inside. I don't let them go into any destroyed houses. I'm very worried about them.
Only a few days ago, members of the Civil Defense Force discovered an unexploded mortar shell in the house next door. The old town on the western banks of the Tigris River was the last IS stronghold in Mosul. No street in the old walled city is unscathed. In front of a bombed-out house, next to a pile of rusty tin cans, about a dozen mobile phone chargers and a car battery lie in the rubble. A few steps further, small, dust-clogged walkie-talkies. A little further to the left, a tattered protective vest. It's quite possible that the remains of such vests contain explosives and metal ball bearings. And if such a vest were to explode, those ball bearings would be shot through the air, becoming deadly projectiles.
They've been very well built, but on.
Mark Warburton is an operations manager with Optima, a private firm responsible for clearing unexploded bombs, mortars, rockets and booby traps on behalf of the United Nations Mine Action Program.
We found everything that can be commercially made, sort of hand grenades through to 500-pound airdrop bombs, to everything that ISIS can improvise. So improvised grenades, improvised mortars, improvised rockets, everything.
The British ex-soldier and explosives expert has gained a lot of experience in war and crisis areas around the world. But what he finds in Mosul's old town surprises him. Like, for example, the sheer quantity of improvised explosive devices, or IEDs.
They've been very well built, but on an industrial scale. It's not sort of just it getting a few people building them here and there. This has been sort of an industry to build them to this scale and this amount.
From December 2017 to May 2018, Mark and his men cleared around 33,500 explosive hazards in hundreds of operations in Mosul's old town, including over 600 explosive belts.
Of that 600, there's probably at least 280, 300 that the operators have had to remove from bodies. Not the most pleasant job. But again, that the bodies need to be removed and we need to make it as safe as possible for the sort of follow-up teams.
Walking through the old walled city, Mark and one of his teams pass 10 white body bags. After a few more steps, they find another suicide belt atop a pile of rubble. Mark shakes his head.
I walked this exact route this morning. Do you know what I mean? That we've had 8 improvised grenades handed into us and now a suicide belt. And that's the sort of the level that people are coming back. They find things, they just put it by the side of the road.
The final battle to liberate the city lasted for 9 months, from October 2016 to July 2017. According to some accounts, it was the heaviest urban battle since World War II. So how long will it take before Mosul is cleared of explosives?
Decades. Absolute decades. Do you know what I mean? That we're still finding bombs from World War II. So, yeah.
Mark peers out across the horrific landscape. An estimated 8 million tons of debris. Hidden among it all, aerial bombs, mortar shells, car bombs, grenades, explosive belts, and even teddy bears filled with explosives. Then there's the fine wires, switches and detonators that are mounted on top of booby traps. But in old Mosul, there are currently only 4 UN mine clearance teams. The 60 men work under armed protection to prevent possible attacks of IS sleeper cells. Their focus is on mitigating explosive threats, so that infrastructure can be restored.
We have teams that do stabilization type of work, so they're doing the clearances of schools, health centers, water treatment plants, electricity stations. They can be remediated, and then it sort of invites people to come back.
Returnees like Zara and her family, who have nowhere else to go.
I'm glad that the war is over. It's much safer here now. But these empty ruins also scare us, and so do the dead bodies in the rubble.
In total, more than 1 million people are said to have fled Mosul. Most of them, like Zara, were from the heavily bombed western part of the city. She hopes that, as more and more people return to rebuild their homes, life will eventually return to normal.
This report was brought to you by DW.